Well, during the mid to late 19th century, if you want a mental picture of this, this is the late 1800s, general stores were generally the first business establishments built in a town. They were the gathering places for townspeople and the farmers, where they could buy items like hardware, food items in bulk, clothing items, and seed for planting. The main floor of a general store was used to display retail merchandise, and store owners used every available nook and cranny to maximize storage. Shelves rose to the ceiling to organize the largest amount and variety of items, while excess or specialty items tended to be stacked on the floor, on counters, upturned boxes, barrels, bins, or situated on ceiling hooks. Items like coffee, tea, spices, rice, beans, flour, sugar, salt, cornmeal, crackers. And look, there's Dennis. Molasses, kerosene in bulk quantities were purchased by store owners, weighed on large scales, and measured into boxes. Crockery, containers, and bags to sell in desired quantities to customers. Prepackaged or canned items like peaches, sardines, and oysters were popular in general stores. Anybody got any memories? Okay. Larger items such as farm equipment, tools, bathtubs, cook stoves, and sewing machines were special ordered for customers. The general store is where you would get your provisions. One-stop shopping for vital necessities. Today, we call it
Walmart.
There it is. There we go. And there's a lot of other stores that are competing with Walmart. Amazon, for instance. And the sad story with the Amazon founder we've been hearing this week. My goodness. You know, I do like to know where to go to get what I need. And I'm sure you do too. But more importantly, the believer in Jesus Christ needs to know where to go to get the vital provisions that will keep your feet planted experientially on the solid rock of Christ Jesus our Lord. And we talked about this last Sunday. If you were not here, I encourage you to go to our website, which we put up a lot more information these days. But my message from last Sunday, called Built on the Solid Rock, is up there. And I encourage you, because we're going to be going through the book of Colossians, and there's some very introductory, crucial thinking by the Apostle Paul that we need to know. We need to know who supplies the vital resources that you and I need to succeed living the Christian life. Somehow the Christian life, to a lot of people's mind, is just a list of things I can and cannot do. And Satan will want to use that to you. And that matter of fact, that's part of what was happening in this Colossian church. There's always the temptation when you have truth to replace it with a lie in another version that looks okay, but it's not really the real thing. And people seem to get entangled in the false stuff rather than the good stuff, in the true stuff. And so you want to know what is yours. You want to know what belongs to you. In the three, there's 14 letters that I believe are penned by the Apostle Paul. Epistles are the better term to call them. They're authoritative. They're instructive. They're foundational. They lay the groundwork for the correct way of thinking in our lives, so that we're not messing around with things that we don't belong messing around with, especially religious thinking. And there's a pollution of religious thinking in our world that if you're not careful, you can get sucked into it and you don't realize, you think that everything's sort of equal, and it's not. But Paul prays powerful prayers in four of the epistles that are called the prison epistles. And for the record, they are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the little letter to Philemon. Actually, it's awesome if you read that little letter of Philemon, because in there, Paul brings a guy to Christ. His name is Onesimus. It's a wonderful little story. And Paul writes back to Philemon, who was the slave owner of Onesimus, and said, listen, if he's done you any wrong, put it on my account. By the way, you owe me your own soul. In other words, I led you to Christ. You forgive this guy, you take him back. And there's just some powerful stuff in some of these little letters of how the apostle shows how grace operates in the life of every human being, or should be operating. And so that's what's really going on here. And I like to read this brief prayer. This is one of, again, one of the three. You would see these. You need to get familiar with these prayers. A lot of people like the Lord's Prayer, and that's in Matthew, and you see that in the other Gospels. But as far as the church is concerned and believers are concerned, you really want to pay attention to what is yours in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Christ today, you need to get into Christ. And what does that mean? You place your faith in Him as your substitute. He's the sin bearer. He took on Him your sin in full on that cross. Trusting Him is enough. Faith in Him is enough. Believing that He did that for you is enough. And by the grace of God, through the Spirit's power, you can go on to live the Christian life with Christ's help. But it's transferring your sin onto Him and acknowledging what He did for you. That's the big deal before you leave earth. That's like, basic instructions, right? Someone said Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's more than basic. The Bible is foundational. But it's, again, these are basic instructions before leaving planet earth. Jesus didn't come for nothing. He came to do something that you could not do and I could not do. And He did it out of love. He did it out of the desire to please His Father so that His creation could be restored to God. And Christ is the solution for this planet. And that is the only hope that we have this side of heaven. He is the hope of hopes. In Him are all the riches that belong to the believer. And we're going to discover some of those. That's why it's kind of like, get your spiritual eyes open. As we read this, this is what the apostle says. Be up on the screen. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord. The apostles' prayer, and this is on the back of your bulletin, is that we would know what our vital provisions are, what is the source of our vital power, and what is our vital position. Everybody's seeking position today. People think that they get this job, they land this job, and somehow if that's the job of their dreams, somehow they've arrived. You got more in Jesus Christ than that position will ever give you, although that position could be wonderful. The position that the believer has in Jesus is astounding. It is access to heaven. It is access to the resources that God gives. Not just money, but joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All the things that most of us lack, right? We kind of came into the world with deficit mode. You in deficit mode? Maybe. At times I'm often in deficit mode. As I say, I preach this message to me first, and then hopefully I want you to stay. But the idea is that when Paul received from Christ, what he received from Christ is to be understood by every believer. True knowledge, true wisdom, true spiritual understanding, true fruitfulness, and true strength and power. May I repeat those? True knowledge, true wisdom, true spiritual understanding, true fruitfulness, and true strength and power. This is really the cry of the human heart, that we would know these things. Anybody trying to sort out what's going on in this world? It's crazy, okay? And it's not getting any better. But Christ Jesus, my Lord, is the answer. He is the answer. He's an ever-living Savior. He's forever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. And if you and I are to grow, that means to advance, that means to develop your understanding in a way that when you're living in this world that is increasingly dark, I believe we are living in increasingly dark days, you'll still be a bright light of His marvelous grace. You and I need to know these things and why Paul prayed for us in this way. Newsflash, no fake news here. This is all yours in Christ. And number one, I want to just look at these three, some detail here. This idea of vital provisions. This is what God gives to us. And you'd find this in Paul's prayer. He's pleading before the Father. Keep in mind, Paul received this revelation from Jesus Christ, understood it, and says, I am tasked with the responsibility of communicating this in such a way that every person who places faith in Christ can get it. Paul's prayer is that you and I will get it. Don't you like people who get it? It's like, you ever like do a math problem or you do it with a child and they're just like, I hate this math. It's torturous. And all of a sudden it's like, ding, the light goes on. And all of a sudden it's like, they got it. They saw it. And it's like, I love math. You know, they start acting like this is, you know, like they're now the new math hero, right? But sometimes, you know, sometimes when the spiritual insight is given to you, it's like, wow, I didn't realize that actually is part of what happened when I received Christ. That I'm just not letting another 24-hour cycle lead to another 24-hour cycle to another 24-hour cycle and just gutting it out. Like, there are insights that God can give you in His Word that are yours. And they're worth way more than money. They're the things that belong to you as a believer. And he says here, for this reason, and Paul was just boasting, he's hearing about their fruitfulness. Those first eight verses that we looked at last week, you see where Paul's going here, as I pointed out last week. He essentially is affirming them as believers in Christ before he tackles some of the things that have now got in the way of their progress. And see, Christians can start good in the faith and end poorly. People are like, well, that's not true. How can that be, Pastor? It's true. There's a record of that in Scripture. God lets the record be there for our benefit, whether it's studying the nation of Israel and seeing all of His faithfulness in their lives and then their departures and raising up other, you know, gods as a means to whatever they thought they wanted. But God is ultimately faithful, and He's going to accomplish what He says He's going to accomplish, and He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And Paul says here, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge. And the Greek word here is awesome. It's epigenosis. Say that with me. Epigenosis. Guess what this is? This is super knowledge. This is the stuff that we talked about, the true wisdom, the true spiritual understanding, all those things. This is fill your brain with things that you should know. That God wants you to know. This is because there was a so-called super knowledge in the day. It was Gnosticism. And it was a form of both legalism and some spiritual things, but it was not helping them progress. And sometimes that's what will happen in church settings, is people will want to link up another system to Jesus and say, you need both. You need these two simultaneous tracks. You don't. You need Christ. You need the Scriptures. You need the Scriptures taught correctly. That's the important thing. So these people were being troubled by those people in the early church. And see, that's why you go with the record of the Bible, because the Bible basically shows you how, when some of these things happened, when these problems arose, that they were dealt with swiftly, or they were dealt with precision. And so now you say, well, how do I know the Bible's true? Because the Bible says that the Word of God is inspired. It's God breathed. God did it. He delivered these Scriptures. Yes, He used human beings, but isn't every book written by a human being? But God can superintend things by His Holy Spirit so that you and I get the record of heaven. We get the record of God so that we would move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. So there were those in the early church troubling them, and they had a so-called super knowledge, but theirs led to legalism and bondage. You know, the legalism and bondage often leads to fear, and people can't get quite out of their own fear zone. And it's superstitions, it's weird stuff, it's just like, you know, sometimes you don't even realize how much you're being tortured by your own toxic thinking. But you want to get to this place in your life where it's like, I want the resources that God says are mine. And he says here, that as you may be filled with His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. You know, people who think right, walk right. People who think about themselves, they understand, my goodness, look what Jesus did for me. Look what he took from me. Look how he empowered me. And look, I now get to serve him. And I can't, he doesn't take back his gift of grace. So when you mess up, it's like, you know, people think, oh, I messed up so badly. I must not be a Christian. Well, that's just saying that you've not matured enough, right? I'm not saying cut yourself no slack, but, you know, give yourself a little break there and allow yourself to know that you're walking this Christian life. You weren't instantly mature the day you placed trust in Christ. Some people think that this is like, this should just automatically go from, you know, like, what 9-month-old do you yell at? How come you're not walking yet? You know, it's like this thing, child's figuring it out. You know, we're gracious. We understand. We take some good examples just in everyday life to show that there's similar progressions in the Christian life. And God wants us to be fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, I was looking back over the year of ministry here at Grace Lighthouse Fellowship and some of the things we got to do. That's fruitfulness. Donnie and Patty. It's fruitfulness. The fact that they're in this church, that we made a place that they felt comfortable, that you guys have wonderfully happy faces that carry us each week and people want to be with you. And so this idea that Paul made a provision, Jesus made the provision, and Paul is explaining that. And he's saying to this, that in Christ, this is all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is wisdom to think correctly. In him, we realize that all the secrets, all the scriptures came fulfilled in Christ. And that when you are in Christ, you are a new person. The old is gone and the new has come. You are a walking new person. You have everlasting life. Then Paul is saying, are you living that way? Is your thinking so transformed because you know who you are that somehow this is changing your everyday progress? And he was boasting on these people because he had learned about their progress. And so you and I want to know how we can continue to recognize what these vital provisions are in our life. God has given us wisdom, spiritual understanding, so that we can walk worthy. Christ makes us worthy, but isn't it awesome when you're like, you know what? As a believer, that's mine. And Jesus gets really, I think, overjoyed when you lay hold of what belongs to you because he gave it to you. It's like, you ever see a child like so happy like over this gift that you gave them? It's like, they're using that gift I use. You know, it's like, give somebody a gift. Like, do you ever use that? No, I don't use it. It's like, why don't you use it? I bought it for you, you know? And so sometimes we get this, and God just wants to give us good gifts. They're spiritual in nature. Yes, they manifest themselves in the physical sometimes. They might be blessings. They could be a great thing that worked out and helped you in your finances and all that stuff. But really, the thing that's going to motivate you the most is to know how complete you are in him. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You cannot find a closer friend than him. No one will stand by you like he will stand by you. He is the friend. And the awesome thing is that when his presence is working through the local church body, it's almost like we're like, if I can put it this way, we're like little Jesus. We're like versions of him because we're sensitive to his spirit. It's like, wow, I see Christ in that situation. I didn't expect that to go quite that way. And this is becoming sensitive to his spirit. And if you want to know how to become sensitive to his spirit, look at passages like Galatians chapter 5, where it's practical stuff like the fruit of the spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Sometimes and Paul's going to deal with that here, this all patience. Some of this stuff is hard, you know? Anybody have ever struggled with not being patient? Okay. Chris, you're the only one. Okay, no, come on up now. We're all with you. Patience is a big part of our life sometimes. And sometimes, you know, we were waiting. My daughter was, we're trying to figure out, should she travel? Should she get on this bus, go to New York City? And there's this big snowstorm coming out of the Midwest and going off the Mid-Atlantic states. And you know, is she going to get caught in this thing, or are they going to get caught in it? And it's like, we didn't know. And sometimes, and she's finally like, will you guys just relax, you know, telling us basically in her nice way, in the very gentle Amanda way. She knew that, You know, if she's supposed to go, she's going to go. If she's not supposed to go, she's not going to go. But sometimes patience, you know, the things that come out of our lives sometimes as of lack of patience are pretty ugly. Oh, some of that stuff I hate. But you know what? That's the old me. It sometimes feels like the present me, but that's the old Dave. I want that stuff gone. And that's what fruitfulness becomes. Fruitfulness becomes when I start saying, you know what, Lord, I'm trusting you in this situation. I am not going to be upset. I'm not going to let this upset me. I'm going to trust you, and you're going to work this out. You're going to do something here. And I see God do that so many times. Like, I'm going to just take a step back here. I'm not going to freak. I am going to pray. I'm going to pray as if everything depends upon God. I'm going to do what I can to contribute to that situation. But at some point, I'm going to back off, and I'm going to say, God, you're going to do this, and I'm going to trust you. Vital power here, Colossians 1, verse 11. That it's strengthened with all might. Do you realize that this is a continuous supply to you as a believer? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Okay, you want to know how glorious this power is? It took our dead Savior and rose him from the dead. And if you had only seen his battered body and what that battered body would have looked like. People say, like, oh, I saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, and it's brutal to watch. I have to tell you, it was awful. But others would say it was even worse than what you saw on that screen. And I think it was incredibly descriptive, the depiction of how the suffering of Jesus really might have looked like. So you take that lifeless body and you place it in a tomb. And then 3 days later, that body rises from the dead as he says it would. And he shows up and he's gloriously transformed. That same power is at work in the life of every believer. Praise God. That's the power. That's this glorious power. And so this is where the strength comes in, to know that through the Spirit's help, that God is giving us all might. That's the apostle's prayer here. Strengthened with all might. How you doing? According to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. You know, sometimes Christian life is hard. Let's just face it. You're going against the resistance of your old sin nature. That's the truth. You're in Christ. Revenge isn't yours, right? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. So don't be destroying your TV every time. It will get expensive. But every time something comes on the TV that just infuriates you, right? You see how sometimes this world is just so dark. And there are people, that's all they do. They focus on the negative. That's why we talked in our very first message of this year as we left 2018. Seek the things that are above, not on this earth. Our minds can be so getting into this zone. This zone that is so sometimes hard to, you know, just see beyond it. But see, God wants to use the believer to point people to him. Hey, I know a perfect Savior who loves you and died for you. Do you know that? Do you know what he's done for you? Do you know how Jesus suffered and died for you perfectly on that cross? And he did it voluntarily. He did it out of love. He did it out of love for this planet, for people on this planet, so that they would know him. And see, this is the type of glorious power that puts in us might and patience. So if you don't like your trial today, if you don't like where you are in your life, you're just not happy with what's going on, just know that you've got access to this level of power to help you endure, that you would be long-suffering with joy. Wow. The scripture says the same power, and this is in Romans chapter 8, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Psalm 139, I think David captures this in that psalm. Remember he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and he's getting caught up. He's like, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go? If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I go off to the furthest remote parts of the earth, you are there. I can't get away from you, Lord. I can't get away from you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. See, I think David's reply is fitting here to what the apostle is saying belongs to you as a believer. This is the stuff that should be the energy and the flow that keeps us in this knowledge that we have this vital power to continue. There are days I feel like quitting, but I say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to just keep trusting you, and I'm going to get a good night's sleep, because half the time when I'm tired, someone said it's hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Like, you know, halt, take a break. If you're overstressed, if you're just, life is, get a good night's sleep. That's a huge part of it. Take a nap, right? Sometimes you just got to shut our brain off and just say, God, I'm going to release this to you again. I don't know what to do here. This is a big one. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to get a good night's sleep, because half the time when I'm tired, someone said it's hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Like, you know, halt, take a break. If you're overstressed, if you're just, life is, get a good night's sleep. That's a huge part of it. Take a nap, right? Sometimes you just got to shut our brain off and just say, God, I'm going to release this to you again. I don't know what to do here. This is a big one. I'm going to trust you. It's, I think, when we stress, and, you know, Jesus says the Gentiles eagerly seek after all these things, but your Heavenly Father knows your needs, right? So we have to remember that God knows what we need, and He's going to take care of us. But I love this idea of this vital power working in us. And guess what He gave you to know all this is possible? He gave you vital position. He has delivered you from the power of darkness. This is verse 13, beginning at verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. In other words, there has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Your address changed. If you're in Christ today, your address changed this side of heaven. It's not going to change once you leave this body, in one sense. We're already citizens of heaven. The citizenship status is given to you here, right now, in this day. It's going to be much more manifest in heaven. That's the thing that's holding this back right now. And God loves us that much that He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The Spirit is our power on this side of heaven to succeed at living the Christian life. Do you know what your vital provisions that God has given you are? Do you know that He's supplied you vital power? Do you know that there's a vital position that He's already accomplished in you? He's moved you from that domain of darkness, and He's conveyed you into the Son of His love. You want to know how much God loves you? Look at how much He loves Jesus. He loves His own Son, His only begotten Son, His perfect, awesome, holy, one of a kind, never, ever. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. And we, in Him, we get all the blessings that God gives to us. In righteousness, in holiness. The true sanctification that you and I need is to be in Christ. That means that's being set apart. That God does that work. And it's, I really believe this is a wonderful truth about the sanctification of the believer. He delivered you from one domain the moment you trusted Him. And He conveyed you into the Son of His love. God is a gracious Father who has a perfect Son, and who gives us the promised Holy Spirit so that you and I can succeed. And guess where we got all this? From the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's why to continue to beat yourself up over a wasted life or things that you should have, could have, would have, and all that stuff, you need to know that what happened on that cross was your full cleansing. And start living with this sense of, I know what's mine as a Christian. This is the apostles' prayer for you as the church. This is for every generation of Christians. I just think a lot of Christians miss this. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. I want us to keep going forward. I put a few of these copies on the back of the table. I'm going to read this to you, and you can certainly pick it up. I've shared this before. Some of the guys remember. I don't know if it's still up on your refrigerator. We gave them out for Father's Day. Remember that? And there's a lot of scriptural support here. Several verses from the book of Colossians. In Christ, I am loved. And that would be based in John chapter 1, verse 12. John 3, 16. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Galatians 3, 26. In Christ, I am redeemed. Ephesians 1, 7. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. In Christ, I am forgiven. Hebrews 9, 14. 1 John 1, 9. 1 John 2, 12. In Christ, I am chosen. Psalm 139. There it is again. Romans 8, 30. in Ephesians 1:4. In Christ I am new, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians 2:20, 1 Peter 1:3 through 23. In Christ I am complete. Colossians 2:9 and 10, Philippians 1:6, 1 Corinthians 1:5 to 7. In Christ I am a conqueror. Romans 8:37, Ephesians 3:20, Philippians 2:13, and Philippians 4:13. And in Christ I am a citizen of heaven. Ephesians 2:19, Philippians 3:20, and Colossians 1 verse 12. About 10 copies are on the table back there. Please don't fight over them. I'll get you more. But let's, as a church, know that this prayer is for us. For everything that God wants to do in and through us this side of heaven is possible because the resources that God gave us in Christ belong to us. The only hinge, the only thing that keeps that from developing in our lives, number one, if you're not in Christ, become in Christ today. Place your faith in Jesus alone. I'll be happy to pray with you. Other people in this church, delighted to pray with you. I want to make sure I know Christ. I don't want to leave this. I don't want to leave these doors. I want to walk out of here with the assurance that if I die today, I'm going to be instantly with Jesus for what he did for me. And I believe that. The second thing is if you ignore the scripture and you try to make up your own version of how to live the Christian life. That's why you stick with the scripture. And that be my prayer for all of us as we head into 2019. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us in every way. You're just a faithful Father who loves us. You care so much that we would get it. You let the faithfulness of these early struggling churches, as they trusted you, you provided them a complete revelation of how to know what truly belongs to every believer in the Savior. May we, Father, as your people, people who are blood purchased, say, Christ is mine. He is mine. He loved me that much. Father, I pray that we would lay hold of these awesome truths in this book, that you would bless us, you would strengthen us in the inner man, this inner person, this new person, where a new nature is by what virtue of what Jesus Christ did for us, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live as we should, that we would bear fruit in every and any circumstance. Oh, how we need your help more than ever. We need your help. We need your aid. We need your power to accomplish this. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know Christ, never made that first time call upon you to save them from their sin, to see what Christ did for them, I pray for them right now, Lord, that you would touch their heart. You would open up their heart once again to you, Lord. Anybody here this morning want to do that? Just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right here. Anybody here? Father, thank you for working in our lives, and we trust that you will guide us in the days to come. Show us what you want. Lead us as your church. Pray for anyone struggling with these decisions this morning, that you would comfort them, that this would be reachable for them. They would settle the big questions and know that if God is for me, who could be against me? Thank you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.